This is 89.1 KUAR. We're going to go to the state capitol for our daily briefing. Governor Asa Hutchinson expected in just a moment to give the latest on the COVID-19 outbreak in the state. At this point, the Arkansas Department of Health reporting 1,739 cases. The governor now going to the podium, removing his mask. This is KUAR.
Thank you for joining us on the Saturday daily update for COVID-19. Grateful for the media being out here, but also people of Arkansas paying close attention to that. We actually have a fairly heavy agenda of items that we need to cover today. I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Delahaye of the Department of Health, is over here on my right. And then we also have Dr. Cam Patterson of UAMS that will be talking about testing and what they have been doing. We'll also have some economic development announcements today. And so I've asked Secretary Wes Ward of Agriculture, Secretary Mike Preston of Department of Commerce, and of course our Parks, Tourism, and Heritage Secretary, Stacy Hurst, to join us as well. That'll be very key as we develop some of our economic recovery efforts here in Arkansas. I first want to thank our EMT workers and ambulance drivers across the state that are truly right there on the front line, are doing an extraordinary job, and I just wanted to acknowledge their service to our state. In terms of a case update, yesterday we had 1,695 cases in Arkansas. Since yesterday, the cases across the state have increased by 44. That gives us 1,739 cases today in the state. This does not include the testing that's being done at Cummins that was mentioned yesterday that will be reported separately when those numbers come in. Dr. Delahaye might address that more clearly. But we have 1,739, which is an increase of 44. Hospitalizations are down 7. We have 86 hospitalizations, 1 additional death. We have 38 deaths. And just to keep consistent, we'll look at the graphs here that you can see, the trend lines again. These are the number of new cases in Arkansas that you can see is in a trajectory that we like in terms of our statewide reporting of COVID-19 cases. We had the peak up here, but since then it's been a decline. Again, the Cummins reporting is separate from that, but that really indicates where we are in the state in terms of our testing and the results of that. The next slide is on hospitalizations. And you can see that as well as really being in a consistent steady state, even though today we're down additional 7 in our hospitalizations. I'm pleased to make first of a series of announcements today. And the first announcement is that Secretary of Commerce, our economic development team, has worked hard to coordinate with our rural hospitals, the Arkansas Hospital Association, and our rural hospitals to identify financial needs in our rural hospitals across this state because their revenue stream has declined. It's critical for them to maintain their service of care and level of care for their communities. And as a result of this partnership, $10 million I'm announcing is being distributed to 27 different hospitals in Arkansas. These are funds from a community development block grant program that we have been allocated for our hospital recovery. And so $10 million to 27 hospitals will receive these grants that range from $250,000 to $500,000. And in addition, we will have the University of Arkansas Medical Sciences will receive $500,000 of these grants for support of telemedicine health in their rural locations. They've been an essential partner in expanding telehealth in the rural areas, and this will give some financial assistance for those efforts. You'll notice, so I'm very pleased that we are able to make that announcement for our rural hospitals today. I did want to point out the testing machine here. This is an Abbott Lab quick test machine for COVID-19. Now, this machine has been around for some time, but this testing machine has been made capable to have a quick response test for COVID-19. We have 88 of these around the state of Arkansas that can return a quick test on COVID-19 within 15 minutes. This is the result that we've been seeking for in Arkansas. Now, the challenge for that we are continuing to address is that this takes a kit, a COVID-19 kit, to place in this machine so it will be able to perform within that quick response time frame. And there's a backlog of those. We're trying to accelerate that, to acquire those, and to improve that supply chain. But I wanted you to see exactly what we're talking about with a quick test results from Abbott's that's here that we hope to expand across Arkansas as we get additional testing kits that come into the marketplace here across the nation and in Arkansas. And so with that, let me give the podium over to Dr. Dillahay today for her comments and an elaboration on these tests. Dr. Dillahay.
This is Dr. Jennifer Dillahay with the Arkansas Department of Health.
Thank you, Governor. I'd like to take this opportunity to give a shout out to the many epidemiologists and statisticians at the Arkansas Department of Health that make these data available. They work very hard to make them as complete and as accurate as possible. So as the governor said, we have now a total of 1,739 cases in Arkansas. That's 44 new cases compared to yesterday. 998 of those cases are still active, but we have now 703 cases overall in Arkansas that have recovered. That's 110 more than yesterday. We did have one death. And also, we have currently in the hospital 86 people. That's, as the governor said, 7 less than yesterday. 11 people were newly hospitalized either yesterday or today. That's about 3 less than the previous days. But of those who have ever been hospitalized, we have 291 hospitalizations. 57 of those were on the ventilator in the hospital. Currently, there are 22 on the ventilator, and that's down 1 from yesterday. I'd like to talk a little bit about the demographic makeup of the cases in Arkansas. They're very evenly split between men and women, about 50% each. Whites about 60% and blacks about 30%, and then there's a mixture of Asian and Pacific Islanders and multiracial groups. The age groups that have been most heavily affected by this COVID-19 are those that are in the 46 through 64 age group. That's 36%, and the 25 through 44 age group. That's 32%. So this disease can affect people of all ages, and we do worry about those who are in the most vulnerable age groups, those who are 65 and older, and the new death was in that age group. And then those who have comorbidities. And so we see that about about 30% of our patients have some sort of comorbidity, and that increases their risk for severe disease. So it's going to be very important for us in Arkansas to follow the guidance that we issue through the governor's office and through the health department. And one of the most important things is continued use of masks to prevent spread and social distancing, as well as hand washing. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Dillahay. And now I've asked Dr. Cam Patterson, I've asked him to be here today. UAMS is engaged with a mobile testing unit It really helps us get around the state. So, Cam, if you could elaborate on that.
This is Cam Patterson, Chancellor of UAMS.
And I want to thank you and Secretary Preston for the funds that you're providing to rural hospitals, which are particularly distressed here in the state of Arkansas. I know that this is a big shot in the arm for those hospitals at a time when they are challenged to provide care for people in their communities, and also for your recognition of the need for more digital health services, telemedicine services for people in the state, as the hospitals have had to step back from some of the care that they are able to provide, and the challenges of COVID-19 confront every community. Our ability to provide distant health services through digital means helps us manage not just patients who are at risk for COVID-19, but patients who have other medical issues, including mental health issues. And many of those services we can provide remotely through digital health services. So thank you very much for your support. We had the chance to hear about the expansion of opportunities for testing for COVID-19 across the state. New technologies like the Abbott machine that Governor Hutchinson just described to you. Part of our challenge is the number of tests that we can do within Arkansas, but another part of the challenge is doing those tests where they need to be done. Many communities have hospitals that have provided access to drive-through screening or screening through other mechanisms, digitally or by telephone, but there's some communities that don't have the resources to provide drive-through screening services for patients, individuals who are concerned about whether they need to be tested for COVID-19 and actually allowing the testing to be done. To meet that need for those communities, UAMS has put together a mobile unit under the direction of Dr. Jennifer Hunt, the chair of our Department of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine, and this team of individuals has been traversing the state of Arkansas, going to communities that have asked for assistance in providing screening and testing for COVID-19. We're capable of visiting about 3 communities per week. This past week, we visited Texarkana. I want to thank Senator Hickey and his co-congregants at Trinity Baptist Church for providing us with the space to do the testing in Texarkana. And we also did testing in Forest City this week. Altogether, we have screened screened 431 individuals. Over 180 of those have been tested for COVID-19 infection. And I think there's a good news story here, because out of those 183 so far, only one person has tested positive in these communities. This should be a big relief to people who live in those communities. We will continue to provide communities with access to the UAMS mobile unit this coming week. We will be visiting Mariana, Camden, and McGee, and we are lining up communities to visit the following week as well. And we'll continue to report the results of this. But this is a great way for the state of Arkansas to provide surveillance for COVID-19 infection for individuals, no matter where you live in the state of Arkansas. And I thank Governor Hutchinson and his team for your support.
Thank you, Cam. And let me just outline how important the testing is, of course, to our future and our economic recovery and moving down the phases of the president's model as well. But we have our public health labs that's doing testing. We have our commercial labs that's doing testing. We're getting those results in. We have a partnership with UAMS that does their mobile lab testing as well as others. And then the Veterans Hospital here in Little Rock also doing testing to assist us. So it's really a great team effort in all of our testing capacity that we'll continue to expand on. And now what I consider one of the most important announcements today and even beyond that, as you recall, yesterday we had a report from the Medical Advisory Committee that I had established to look at what's the criteria as we move down into the future and look for opportunities to lift some of the restrictions on our economy. That report was completed. They gave us great guidelines on that from our epidemiology. And so we announced that we want to reopen and lift some of those restrictions, and our goal is May 4th. Be able to get there, it takes not just our public health team, but it also takes the partnership and the vision of industry and every aspect of our economy. So for that reason, today I am announcing that I signed an additional executive order that creates the Arkansas Economic Recovery Task Force. And I've asked Stuart Walton to be chairman of this task force. He's agreed to do that. I believe he's the perfect leader for this task force because he's engaged in the hospitality industry. His family, of course, is in the retail industry. He is engaged in philanthropy across the state of Arkansas. But it's that recognition of that small business person that we've got to keep an eye on, because that's where we want to be able to get back to work. So I'm grateful for Stuart and his willingness to serve as chairman of this task force. And then we have 26 to 27 members that are designated in the executive order. They're primarily representing different fields of our economy. And whether it is agriculture, whether it is outdoor recreation, whether it is sports, and sports is a part of our economy, and they will be represented in this task force, as well as the small business person represented through the National Federation of Independent Business, having a representative there. The retail associations will be on there, on and on down the list, really every aspect of the economy. And I also ask our churches and our faith-based community to be represented on the task force as well, because they're an integral part of reopening our society again and lifting some of these restrictions. A key part of it will be three cabinet secretaries that will be on the task force. That's Wes Ward, representing agricultural. They'll help bring the agricultural community together. Secretary of Commerce Mike Preston, from the small business to the manufacturing capacity in our state. And then, of course, Secretary Hurst in Parks, Heritage, and Tourism, that is the second leading industry in our state that has really been hurt because we've restricted our state from out-of-state residents for recreational travel. So I'm delighted for their support and participation in this critical task force. Now, the expectation of this task force is that they will meet in their industry groups, that they will look at their own guidelines within their industry to see how they can, consistent with the public health requirements, allow them to expand in their industry, to open up more, to put this economy in higher gear, but to do it in a way that's consistent with public health requirements and that gives the public confidence. You can open up a restaurant on May 4th, but if the public does not have confidence that they're going to be safe, they're not going to go. They're going to self-select their way out of it. And so that is something that is so essential to industry. And if you're in manufacturing, to make sure that we don't have a test positive, or if we have a test positive in a manufacturing facility, particularly in the food chain, that we can quickly address it, where we can get back to business consistent with public health and giving the public confidence. This task force will be working hard in the coming weeks. They'll be making recommendations both to me, but also making recommendations to their industry groups as to how we can elevate our economy and to comply with the public health directives that our public health team are necessarily putting into place. I expect the first meeting of this to be next week. With that announcement, thank you, and I'll be glad to turn it open to questions.
This is 89.1 KUAR. We're listening to a live press briefing from Governor Asa Hutchins.
So one or more of those industry leaders that you're meeting with next week causes that deadline or soft deadline to be pushed back. Are you prepared for that, the May 4th deadline to restart the economy?
Of course, you look at the May 4th deadline, that is to lift some of the restrictions. That doesn't mean all restrictions are lifted. And even under every phase of the president's guidance, there's certain things that will be in place all the way through until we get a vaccine for this COVID-19. And so the social distancing is a part of our life into the future. Hand washing, the extra precautions we have from a public health standpoint will remain in place. Now, every industry is different, and so not only will what they recommend be important, but these are public health decisions. And so the extent of the lifting of these restrictions that we have in place now will really be guided by the public health team led by Dr. Smith. Yes.
Can you tell me if this $10 million in the Community Develop Block grant, is that part of the money that Congress authorized for rural hospitals?
No, this is separate from that. And so this was one of the early funding mechanisms immediately after the national emergency was declared, where they freed up some of the Community Development Block Grant funds and said you can use part of that for COVID-related challenges that the state faces. Secretary Preston worked with us to allocate a portion of that for our rural hospitals. And so they will also be getting some support from the CARES Act separately. But this is something that's immediate that can help bridge the financial challenges that they have.
Those block grants, what are they typically used for? Is it like downtown revitalization and things like that? Or
Secretary Press, won't you come and give a little more background on that?
This is Commerce Secretary Mike Preston.
Traditionally, yeah, it's a community development block grant. It's through the HUD is how it comes to the state. We usually split ours up between economic development and general assistance. So the general assistance would be kind of those community revitalization products, and then economic would be a traditional economic development project where we're helping a company to locate or expand into a community. Is usually what those funds are traditionally for. As the governor mentioned, in these funds, when the first CARES Act passed, not the most recent one, but they freed up some funds. We had to use existing resources within our CDBG, but they allowed us to set aside 15% of our existing resources to specifically focus on COVID-related instances. We saw the need immediately in the hospitals and thought this is somewhere that we could help. So thanks to the governor's leadership and Dr. Patterson and others, we were able to help identify those needs with those rural hospitals and set those funds aside.
Is there any... Is anyone listening remotely that has a question?
Yes, Governor, good afternoon. Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. Is it the state's intention going forward to maybe segregate people like nursing homes and prisoners from the overall trend line and segregate those? Governor Neil Gladner in Hot Springs, if you can hear me.
I could hear you fine, Neil, and I understand the question, and the question's about, you know, looking forward, how do we look at the cases that we have and whether we're going to separate those that are in a congregate setting, which would be a prison facility, it could be in a nursing home. We have not separated those in the past in terms of our nursing homes, have always been part of our case management system and reporting system in Arkansas. When you look at the future, I do believe there is some merit to have an honest look at Arkansas, that we separate those numbers in a congregate setting like the prisons, because you know, we're doing an extraordinary amount of testing there. I was informed that we're doing like 1,000 tests at Cummins. And if we're going to do that volume of tests, that really skews the reporting. And so I think in the future we will be trying to show those in a different light, but in a very transparent way as well.
Then how would you then account for the people like the guards and prison personnel who come in contact with people who are COVID positive?
Well, those are reported separately, and so whenever we give a report on Cummins, we have a report on how many inmates have tested positive, how many independent contractors, or how many staff persons. So all that will be transparent and reported. Dr. Patterson, did you have anything else to elaborate on that?
No.
Is that why, Governor, the Cummins numbers aren't being woven into the daily numbers because there's still so many outstanding tests out there?
That's correct. It's one primary reason is that those are being handled by the Veterans Administration Hospital here in Little Rock, and so they've agreed to do that testing, and so the test results have to be manually entered, and there's a little bit of a backlog, and so for consistency purposes, we wanted to go ahead and get these numbers to you today, but we're also being transparent with you that we know that there's a larger number of positives that will come out of the Cummins testing, and as we get those, we'll report to you on those. Dr. Dillahate, did you have anything else to add on that for clarity?
I think
you will come at the microphone.
I think the governor covered it well. We know so far we have 230 positive inmates at Cummins, and we do not have any positive staff yet. We had a team from the health department that included infection control professionals as well as epidemiologists visit the Cummins prison yesterday to assess the situation. The staff, the warden, and all those at the prison are doing a good job at following the guidelines. We did have a couple of extra recommendations, but really what they're doing at this point in time should make a big difference. We also learned that the inmates are now all wearing masks as well as the staff, and they're using their garment factory to make the cloth masks there. And at this point, they've made 32,000 masks and they're providing them to other prisons around Arkansas. So I think that there's a good handle on the situation there. What remains now is to complete the testing to make sure that those who are positive are identified and separated from those who are not infected.
Thank you. Is there one last question? Yes.
I don't know who can answer this, but do you know if the prisons are being provided cleaning supplies? We talked with an inmate and his family earlier this week. Who was at the Little Rock Community or the Central Arkansas Community Correction Center, who kind of told us they weren't being given the cleaning supplies that they need for like the phones and things of that nature.
That should not be an issue. I have talked personally with Secretary Kelly and said anything you need, you get in terms of responding to this COVID-19 outbreak. And, obviously the cleaning is an essential part of that. So I'm not aware of any issue there. With that, thank you for being here on a Saturday. And I wish you all the best, and to the public, continue to be careful. Let's make sure that we don't contribute to the spread. And let's socially distance. Let's wear a mask when we can't do that. And let's be safe. Thank you very much.
We've been listening to a live press briefing from Governor Asa Hutchinson about the latest in COVID-19 in Arkansas. One key point he announced today was that he had signed an executive order creating an Arkansas Economic Recovery Task Force. This follows up on his announcement that he's shooting to lift some restrictions in the state by May 4th. This task force will include a couple dozen people who represent different fields of the state's economy. They'll be holding their first meeting next week. We also had the announcement of $10 million being distributed to 27 hospitals around the state, this primarily to help rural areas of the state. UAMS will get $500,000 of that $10 million to help support telemedicine in rural locations. And we also got word today of one additional death from COVID-19, bringing the total in Arkansas now to 38. The number of cases that the state is up to, positive cases of COVID-19, is up to 1,739. That's an increase of 44 and does not include, as the governor noted, testing that's being done at Cummins Prison. That testing will be reported separately in terms of hospitalizations. I believe the governor said 86 people are currently hospitalized. That is down 7 from yesterday. Cam Patterson, chancellor of UAMS, discussed a mobile unit that has been traveling the state most recently. This week was in Texarkana. That's near where you've got a hot spot in a neighboring county in Louisiana. The mobile unit was also in Forest City. That's where we've had an outbreak at a federal prison. Good news there that Dr. Patterson said 183 people tested in those communities and only one positive case. That mobile unit will next be heading to Camden and McGee, both down in South Arkansas. We'll have another update. The governor did not say if we'll have one tomorrow, but we'll find out. And if we do, we will certainly have that for you here. But again, Arkansas at this point now up to 1,739 cases of COVID-19 in Arkansas. That's 44 new cases. This is 89.1 KUAR. We'll join Snap Judgment in just a minute.